Our text for this morning is the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, two of my most formative years in regards to my knowledge of the Bible were my 7th and 8th grade years. In those 2 years, I was in confirmation class, in which I not only studied Martin Luther's small catechism, but also Bible history. I attended a Lutheran elementary school, and there too we studied Bible history every week. And finally, I also went to Sunday school on Sunday mornings, and guess what we studied there? And once more, it was Bible history. While I didn't realize it at the time, I was actually living that old saying, repetition is the mother of learning. I knew the stories of the nation of Israel from Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. I knew the major events of the life of Jesus from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every year at our Christmas program, both in Sunday school, in our church, and in the Lutheran elementary school, we would hear and learn and read St. Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days. These are what I learned. These are what I have been assured of. But it is not a knowledge or wisdom that I can claim as my own in any sense, as it coming from my own initiative, my own ability, or my own power. It is only by God's grace that I know and believe these things. In our study of the Christian faith in an academic setting, as here at Bethany Lutheran College, there is a give and take between the academic knowledge needed in the discipline of religious studies and faith. That is, believing that what is taught from Scripture is true for you and me. Some things are under our control. As a professor, I lecture and write exams that allow me to assess the academic knowledge of students. As students, you take notes, write essays, and study for exams in order to demonstrate a certain level of academic achievement. But what is not under our control is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, who creates faith in the gospel where and when he pleases. We summarize that in a slightly different form in the third article, where we confess, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. We proclaim the gospel. We do not and cannot produce the results of the gospel being preached, nor can we measure those results. This is about spiritual matters, about souls, about an area of our existence in which the tools of scientific observation, mathematical equations, and psychological or sociological models provide no answer to the question, am I saved? Or are you saved? In one of my favorites of all of Luther's Bible commentaries, his commentary on Psalm 51, Luther explains just what is meant by this phrase, these things which we have learned from the Holy Scriptures, as Paul put it. Luther wrote, this is the twofold theological knowledge which David teaches in this psalm, so that the content of the psalm is the theological knowledge of man and also the theological knowledge of God. Let no one, therefore, ponder the divine majesty, what God has done and how mighty he is, or think of man as the master of his property, the way the lawyer does, or of his health, the way the physician does, but let him think of man as sinner. The proper subject of theology is man, guilty of sin and condemned, and God, the justifier and savior of man, the sinner. Whatever is asked or discussed in theology outside this subject is error and poison. I'm sure that many of us can say the names of the books of the Old and New Testaments by heart. It's good to know that simply because you can look up a Bible passage far more easily if you know that Amos follows Joel and not 2 Peter. I've memorized various dates and names and places of Old Testament history. It's good to know this because it helps provide context for the various events, the Exodus, the building of the temple, the split between Israel and Judah. But these, in and of themselves, are finally not the end point we desire in the spiritual realm, even though they are helpful and even necessary in the academic realm. In the spiritual realm, we are concerned with what Luther says is this theological knowledge. To know the scriptures is finally to know what they say about you as a human being in this fallen world. You are a sinner, you are guilty, and you deserve condemnation. If you do not know that, then the whole reason of God revealing himself to us in Holy Scripture is being missed. St. John, at the end of his gospel, summarized it this way: "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Again, Luther summarized it like this: "Therefore, this theological knowledge is necessary. A man should know himself, should know, feel, and experience that he is guilty of sin and subject to death. But he should also know the opposite, that God is the justifier and redeemer of a man who knows himself this way. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you have been blessed with this theological knowledge through the teaching of God's word before you were a student here, that is a great gift, a great birthright handed down to you. Keep hold of it, for there are many powers that will work to pry it away from you. If you were not given such a birthright, it is still here for you in the preaching of God's word, in the great news that though you are a sinner, subject to eternal death, you have a Savior who is greater than sin and greater than death. This is Jesus, who declares you righteous, who calls out, who invites to all to his great feast of salvation. This is the Jesus who came to die for all our sins, to rescue us from death itself, the death he defeated through his own death and his resurrection for you. God grant you such true theological knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your great mercy you have called us by your holy word to the blessed marriage feast of your Son, and through him forgive us all our sins. But being daily assaulted by temptation, offense, and danger, and being weak in ourselves and given to sin, we beseech you graciously to protect us by your Holy Spirit, that we might not fall into sin. And if we fall and defile our wedding garment with which your Son has clothed us, graciously help us again and lead us to repentance, that we fall not forever. Preserve in us a constant faith in your grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thank you.